Okay, it's recording.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't stop, you're good.
Okay. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Okay. Tonight's topic is how a Birkas Hanenin works. We make a bracha before we partake of food, and there's going to be a very interesting halacha about that. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to see in the poskim if this applies to Birkas HaMitzvahs. So we know that Chachamim made a takana that we recite a bracha before food, and we also have a takana that we recite a bracha before performing a mitzvah. So the question is, could we derive the halakas of one to the other? So here's a very famous Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi is brought in Tosfos in Brachas, Daf Lamed Tesamud Aleph. So I thought it would be interesting to actually learn through the Yerushalmi together. This is item Aleph, and you just get a feel, you get a taste of how difficult it is to learn the Yerushalmi, because we're going to see, what's Yerushalmi doing? I'm not sure, you know, if everybody ever experienced learning Yerushalmi. Is the Yerushalmi leaving it as a question? Is the Yerushalmi resolving the question? You learn through it. It's very different than the Bavli. And there's actually a machlekes what the Yerushalmi is coming out with. What's the maskana? What's the conclusion of the Yerushalmi? So let's give it a try. The Yerushalmi says like this. It's brought in Tosfos and Brachas. Here's a quote from the Yerushalmi. Rav Zreikan says, Omer Rav Zeira, in the name of Rav Zeira, boy, he has the following question. Ahen the nosiv turmusa. A turmusa was a type of a vegetable. You had to cook it 7 times, otherwise it wasn't edible. So imagine if somebody takes a turmus, he takes this vegetable in his hand, umavarech iluye, and he recites a bracha over the turmus. It's probably an adama, bari pri adama, v'nofal minei, and he drops it. He drops it and it falls away. Mahu, what's the halacha? Mahu mivrucha aleis man tinyonos. If I decide to take a second tormis, do I have to make another bracha? Because the item that I picked up in my hand that I recited the bracha over, I lost it. You know, this is something that could happen. Imagine you're at some kind of a simcha, you're at a kiddush, you're at a vart or something, and there's a bowl of tomatoes, of cherries, of grapes or something. You pick one up, you make a bracha, and then by accident somebody bumps into you and you drop it, right? And you can't find it, or it becomes mias, it becomes repulsive, it gets stepped on. So you want to take another one. What do? Do I have to recite another bracha or not? I didn't eat it yet, right? I picked it up. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Hu Adama. Whoops! It drops. It rolls away, and I want to take another tomato or something, right?
Isn't
do I have
more,
to make another bracha
basic
or not?
Question of how much time you have between the bracha and the achila.
That is an issue. So lechatchila we pack. There are some mafarshim. Ramesh is very good. There are some mafarshim who actually learn that this Yerushalmi is talking about that also, and that it says you have to have toich kedei dibur. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're supposed to eat toich kedei dibur, but b'dieved it's not ma'akiv. So if I ever make a bracha and I for some reason delay, I would not have to repeat the bracha. So that's a very good point. Over here the case was that the item that I recited the bracha over, it fell away. I lost it. The shaila is, can I take another one without making another bracha, or do I have to recite another bracha? So the Gemara asks the shaila, Mahu, so the question was, I pick up a tormis, I recite a bracha, and I drop it, so I take another one, do I have to recite the bracha over again, or was the bracha chal, did the bracha take effect already on whichever one I eat? So now the Gemara, the Yerushalmi interrupts itself and says, what kind of, Mahu beinoy leben emes hamayim? What's the difference between that and reciting a bracha over a stream of water? So imagine if you're traveling, you're riding your horse, you get to the river, and you recite a shahakol, you're excited to drink a fresh thing of water. When you recite the shahakol, the water that was before you flowed away, and new water is coming down. So we know that you can make a bracha over the river. Nowadays example, a water fountain, right? So you push the button on the water fountain, the water is flowing through. So what's the difference? The water that was before you when you recited the bracha is not there anymore. It's new water that's coming up. So what's the difference? So says the Gemara, Amrin, they say, Tamon lekach kiven daita mitchila. Over there, that was your original das. Your das was on the future water, because you know that the water is flowing. So when you make the shahakol, your das is on whatever water you get your hands on. Bram, however, hocha loy lekach kibin daita metchila, that was not your kavana originally. In this case, my kavana was, presumably, on the tomato that I picked up. And then something happened beyond my control. I dropped that tomato. So the item that I recited the bracha over, that was my das, right? And that one got lost. Do I have to recite another bracha or not? So now the Yushalmi goes on and says something, and it's a question in the Mefarshim, what the Yushalmi is doing. Does the Yushalmi just leave this question unresolved, or is the Yushalmi attempting to answer the question? So Tani Rabchia taught, Ein mevarchan al hapas el b'shashu hupayres, when you recite hamoitzi on the bread, Ein boitzeya, don't make the bracha on the bread until you cut the bread. In other words, el b'shashu hupayres, recite the bracha. Ein mevarchan al hapas, don't recite the bracha on the bread. El b'shashu payres, only while you're cutting it. In other words, don't cut the bread first and then recite the bracha. So Rav Moshe, so some people learn that the Yushalmi now is making your point. Don't recite the bracha. El b'shashu payres. Okay. Omer avchia barva. Omer avchia barva. Hada amra. So we say the following. Ahein the nasiv pugla. If somebody has a pugla, so the Mefarshim explained a pugla is a word for loizman tinyanus, you have to recite the bracha again. Okay? We're going to talk more about what these cases are. Omer Tanchum bar Yudin, now this is the famous halacha that we all know. Tzarech loimar baruch shem kevoid malchusoy le'olam voed. It's a Yerushalmi. It doesn't say this anywhere in the Bavli, that if a person accidentally recites a bracha levatala, he should say baruch shem kevoid malchusoy. It's a Yerushalmi. Shelo hazker shem shemayim levatala. That way it somehow mitigates the bracha levatala, because true, he recited a bracha in vain because he didn't end up eating the piece that he recited, but at least afterwards he took the opportunity to say baruch shem, and that mitigates, it takes away the bracha levatala. Adkan. Now, that's the end of the Yushalmi. So now the Rush in Item Bays, it's Mavur in the Rush. The Rush in Meseches Brachas in the back. So he brings this Yushalmi, and it's clear from the Rush that he learns that the Kavana of the Yushalmi was to resolve the original question, and the Rush paskins Halacha Lamaisa, that if the person drops what he recited the Bracha on initially, he has to repeat the Bracha. So let's look back at the Yushalmi, and I'll show you how the Rush learned the Yushalmi. The original question was like we said. The person recited the Bracha over the Tormis, and then he dropped the Tormis, whatever this vegetable is, he dropped the Tormis, he has to recite the Bracha a second time. Does he have to recite the Bracha a second time or not? So says the Yushalmi.
I just want to understand the question, why he has to recite the Bracha, because of what Moshe said, Hefsek?
Not because of Hefsek.
Because the Bracha was not Chal.
The Bracha wasn't Chal. And we're going to talk more about it. Now the Yushalmi says, this is how the Rush learns the Yushalmi. Tony Rabchia, Ein Mevorachan Alapas, El Bishashahu Poyres. The sentence structure is a little bit awkward according to the Rush, but what the Yushalmi is trying to say is don't cut the slice of challah and then make the motzi, right? And the Rush explains, because you might drop the slice and then your bracha was chal on the slice that got lost. Rather, recite the bracha on the entire loaf and then cut the slice. That way, even if you drop the slice, you can cut yourself another slice because the bracha was chal on the entire loaf. That's how the Yushalmi learned. That's how the Rush. No. Oh, hold on. So the Rush speaks out. Even though that's not the reason that we give why you shouldn't cut the bread first. We paskin the reason why you shouldn't cut the bread first is because you want the bracha to be on a shalem, right? Not because of this consideration that you might drop the slice. So the Yushalmi speaks out. The Rush speaks out. Even though the Yushalmi is giving a different reason not to cut the bread until you recite the bracha, because if you cut the bread first and recite the bracha, you might lose that slice and you'll have to repeat the bracha. So instead, recite the bracha over the entire loaf and then cut the bread. And that's not the reason that the Bavli gives for reciting the bracha first. The reason why the Bavli says to recite the bracha first is to recite the bracha on a shalim. On Shabbos, it's even more chamer because you want to have lechem mishnah, right? Yeah. So don't cut the bread until you make the bracha. Nevertheless, says the Rush, but the Yushalmi is paskening that there's no reason for us to disagree with that. The Yushalmi is paskening that if you drop the piece that you made the bracha on, you'll have to repeat the bracha. And then the Rush learns that that's what the Yushalmi means in the next sentence also. Ahein the nosav pugla, so I highlighted it. If a person is holding a slice of bread and he recited a bracha, and it's not in his hand. So the Rush explains again, what that means is that he dropped it. It's unclear, but that's how the Rosh explained to Yishalmi that he dropped it. So since he dropped it, it's still going. So he dropped it. Tzorich, he has to make the bracha again. So it's very clear in item Beis, in Ois Beis, that the Rosh learns that the Yishalmi resolved its question, and the halacha is you'll have to repeat the bracha. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam.
I don't see how cutting or not cutting the loaf is going to help. You can lose the whole loaf too.
I guess that wasn't that we're not afraid that's going to happen. In other words, a small piece in your hand, you're going to lose, right? But the bread is on the table. So if you cut the slice first and make the bracha, you might lose the slice. But if you recite the bracha on the entire loaf, then you're covered because the bracha is chal on the entire loaf. Now, Rabbeinu Tam is brought there. The Beis Yosef brings the Rabbeinu Tam in item Gimel. The hecha de daito hoya lechel oid, that if the person intends on eating more, so imagine if I plan on having two or three tormisin. So even though I picked one up and I recited the bracha over this particular one, if I drop it, I can just continue eating and the bracha was chal on all of them. Ein tzarech levarech shenis, you don't have to make another bracha. And the rivid, this is all brought in the Beis Yosef, the Ravid adds that even if you don't have particular das to eat more, even bistam, right? Even if you're not sure, I'm not sure if I'm going to eat more or not. I just made Baruch Atah Hashem Borei Pri Hu Adama, and I have one in my hand, and I'm undecided. I'm not sure, right? But oifin de munach kamei, if they're sitting before you, we say daitoy ala kol, this is the Ravid Sfarah, we say automatically you're presumed to have das on all of them. The ain't tzarech levarech shenis, you don't have to make another bracha, and that's brought in the Kshuva Ashkenazis. This is brought in the, we once quoted the Kshuva Ashkenazis regarding something else. The Kshuva Ashkenazis says this again. Now, this dispute between the Rush and between Rabbeinu Tam is actually brought in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Reish Vav, that's in Hilchas Brachas. This is a quote from the Shulchan Aruch. Not al biyodai pri lachlai, if a person picks up a fruit to eat it, ubirich alav, and he recites a bracha over the fruit, v'nofal miyodai v'nevad, and he recites a bracha and he drops it and it gets lost, oy nimas, or he realizes that that fruit was rotten, it was nimas, it was repulsive, so he decides not to eat it, tzarech lachzor ulavarech, he has to recite the bracha again, afal pi shahayu ma'oser min lafan of yoser, even though there was more of that same fruit in front of him, kishabirach al arishon, when he recited the first bracha. So in other words, just for clarity, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like the Rush, that even if there's a whole bowl of fruit in front of you, and even if you were planning on eating more fruit, if you picked one up and recited a bracha on that particular one, that's the primary one that you recited the bracha on, and if you lose it, you'll have to repeat the bracha. The Rama is Hegiya, the Rama argues, Rak shalei hayo daiti olav la'achlai, provided that you didn't intend on eating more. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even though the Rama is seemingly trying to like interject what he says into the words of the Shulchan Aruch to give the impression that that's what the Shulchan Aruch means, but the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Rama is arguing on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch was paskening that even if you do plan on eating more, and even if they're sitting in front of you, you pick up one of the fruits, one of the cherries, or one of the tomatoes, you recite a bracha, and you lose it for whatever reason, you'll have to repeat the bracha on the rest.
So the Sfarim do it one way.
Yes, exactly. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you always have to repeat the bracha. And the Rama is arguing that if you have the das to eat more, if you planned on eating more, then you are yotzei. The Mishnah Berurah says that not only if you planned on eating more specifically, but even the Ravid, we should be choshish for the Ravid, even if it was stam, even if it was undecided. If they're sitting in front of you, we assume that your das was on all of them, and you should not repeat the bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins suffik brachas lahakil.
So he holds like the Ravad.
I would imagine the Sfardim should go like the Shulchan Aruch, that they should repeat the bracha, but the Ramah and the Minig Ashkenazim is to follow the Rabbeinu Tam and Ravid, not to repeat the bracha as long as it was before you, as long as there was a plate of fruit before you.
How does the Shulchan Aruch say, did you repeat when it is a? Is he saying it's not a suffix bracha?
Yeah,
he's right.
That's when we recognize the suffix. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch paskins
so
like
he's
the rush.
He's saying it's a vaday.
He's being machria. He's deciding
but
the case.
A suffix is a suffix.
No, it's not a suffix. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch has his methodology how to paskin. So since the Rush paskins that way, and since the Rambam paskins that way, and there are other Rishonim paskin that way as well.
The Rambam
paskins that way as well. He brings the Yishalmi Ketzurasa, and it implies in all cases, if you pick one of them up and recite a bracha, you have to repeat the bracha, even if you were planning on eating more. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. He has his mahalach how to paskin. That's how he rules. He doesn't consider it to be a suffix. He paskins, you have to repeat the bracha.
Is there a difference if it's a bracha, let's say, the Rabbanan, or it's a bracha, it's deraisa?
So we never have a bracha. A bracha Rishon is never deraisa. The only bracha we have with deraisa regarding food is benching. The bracha Rishon is always the Rabbanan.
Let's say a person has an lead to the Torah.
We're going to talk about that. Very good. We'll talk about
why
that.
Why is the Beis Yosef not concerned it's a bracha of a Tala?
Because he paskins in favor of the Rush and the Rambam and others. So he always has his klal that he goes with the Rush and Rambam and others.
Rambam
and that the Beis Yosef writes. Beis Yosef writes that in his mind, the Rush, the Rif, and the Rambam are like a bezdin. So as long as two out of the three paskin that way, he paskins that way, even at the risk of a bracha levatala, right?
Okay, but according to that, I think we go according to the Mishnah Berurah.
It's very interesting.
If it's on the table, you have Eish Bedato.
That's the Ravad, the Ravad
holds
that. Yeah,
that's
very interesting. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to repeat the bracha in every case. The Rabbeinu Tam says if you were planning on eating more and you explicitly had in mind all of them, you don't repeat the bracha, but min astam you would. And the Ravid holds that even min astam you would not repeat the bracha. The Ramah paskins like the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins like the Ravid. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, in all cases you wouldn't repeat the bracha unless you were only planning on eating one, on the one that you picked up.
So we're saying the Rambam would say min astam, you would have to make
more than min astam, even if you were planning on eating more.
No.
You still repeat the bracha.
Why?
Now, what's the svara of the machlekes? Now, this is very interesting. In Eis Hei. Now, everybody knows, if I sit down to a meal, we're talking about bread, if I sit down to a meal and I make a moitzi on this slice of bread, I don't have to repeat the bracha every time I eat another slice, right? Yeah. So what's going on over here? Why all of a sudden do I have to repeat the bracha if the initial slice or the initial piece got lost? So the svara of the machlekes is like this. The Shulchan Aruch, so that would mean the Rush and the Rambam and anybody who paskins like the Yushalmi, they all hold that the bracha is chal on the first one. This is how it always works. If I sit down to a, but how does it work? Why don't I have to repeat the bracha every second? Because the way it works, the mechanism for a bracha is the following: the bracha is chal on the first one, and the niftaru hashar. This is the Bir Halacha's expression, derech greira. Derech Greira means that the rest of the food that I eat is schlepped along. In other words, the bracha was chal on the first one, and everything else is considered a continuation of the first achila. So where's my bracha? The first one. That's where it was chal, your bracha. The rest of the food is a continuation, it's a hemshach.
That's only
Derech
the same
Greira.
Type of food, or is that for the same bracha?
Same bracha. Uh-huh. Now, there's different rules about it.
At a Kiddush, there's different types of mezonos.
Then we assume if it's all in front of you and you made a mezonos, you had it all in mind. So therefore, right. The first one, you're still subject to this dispute. In other words, if whatever you initially had in mind got lost, then you'd be subject to this machlekes.
Right.
But if you eat the first thing, everything else is derech greira, even if it's a different min, but it's the same bracha. But you had it in mind.
When you said before that the Rambam says even b'derech stam, you'd have to repeat it.
I'm saying even more b'derech stam, even if you had in mind, it doesn't help. Because
you lost it, according to this war,
if you lost it.
If you ate the first one, then you
correct. Correct.
Okay, it's only
the way,
when you
of
lost
course.
It.
In other words, the Rambam doesn't hold that every bite needs a new bracha.
So there was no kfiyas of the bracha.
Exactly. But what's very interesting is that the lumdus here. The lumdus is that the way the Rambam and the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch, the way they understand how a bracha works. I'm sitting here drinking a coffee, right? So I made my shahakal before on the first sip. Every sip I take is a continuation of the first sip. Had I not made that first sip, if I took out some of the coffee and then it spilled, I'd have to recite another bracha, because what you picked up initially is what the bracha needs to be chal on. If that got aborted somehow, then you have to repeat the bracha on the second one. But if you drink the first one, it was chal the bracha was effective, and then it would pass through the rest. Derek Rader.
And if you did not have in mind to have another second cup of coffee,
so then it depends. Min hastam, we assume you had in mind, so you're allowed to take. If you specifically had one, one, then it's considered nimlach, and you have to make another bracha. That's not really this discussion, because that's talking about a case where I didn't have, I had in mind not to drink more. Now, mimela, if something falls, it's batal your bracha. But Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid is even minastam, they hold that the bracha is primarily chal on everything. That's how the Bir Halacha explains it. So I have a whole pot of, I have a whole bowl of fruit in front of me. I pick up a grape and I say, borei pri ho eitz. How, what's happening? How is it working? According to the Rambam, Rush, and Shulchan Aruch, the bracha is on the one that you picked up initially. If I eat it successfully, then everything else is a continuation of that achila. But if I drop it, if it gets lost, or if it turns out being spoiled and rotten, the bracha was aborted because it wasn't chal on the one that I picked up initially. I want to eat another one, you have to make another bracha, and then it'll be a hemshich of that one. According to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, with that slight variance of min hastam or as explicit das, they hold that the bracha is primarily chal on everything that you plan on eating. So you lost the first one, no problem. Go to the second one, because the bracha was equally chal on every piece. The first one is not, doesn't have any more yichus than the second one does, because the bracha is chal on everything automatically. That is the machlekes between the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, and that's the machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Now,
the grain only works if there's a continuum.
Correct.
But if the continuum is broken?
Not if the continuum, that's true. But we're discussing where it didn't start. No, that's a whole set. Let's say I made a bracha, and then I'm going to pater the rest with Greira, and I leave the room and come back. That's a whole different set of halachas that we're not discussing. What we're discussing now is if it wasn't chal originally, because the bracha was not on the entire plate. The bracha was on the one that you chose, and the rest are Greira. So if you didn't end up eating the first one, it was batal your bracha was never chal. If I do eat the first one, I have the right to continue derech Greira. There are ways of mafsig. If I decide not to eat anymore, that's a hesek hadas. If I leave the room, it's a hesek hadas. We're not discussing that. We're discussing where the initial bracha wasn't chal on the original, on the anticipated one. Was it chal on everything equally, or does it have to be chal on the first one and everything else is derech Greira?
It would seem that the svara of the Rambam really agrees with the Rambam would say that once I'm chal on one, I'm basically malakat everything together.
That's correct.
Right. But and according to the Ramah, the Ravid, so he says, no, you get everything together.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference is the first one.
Correct.
So why?
What's the big deal? What's
the svara behind why you have to have on one when eventually you agree? He agrees to the mechanics that you.
No, he doesn't. It's a very different lumdus.
No, once you get through one, you got everything.
No, but it's a very different lumdus. According to the Rambam, the reason why everything else is putter is because it's a hemshich of the first one. According to the Ravid and the Rambeinu Tam, the reason why I can continue eating is because the initial bracha was chal on that equally. Not derech greira. It's a big difference conceptually.
But once I have the hemshich of the first one, it's chal on the
no,
rest.
No, so everybody agrees you can continue eating.
But
it's not because it's chal on the rest. It's because the rest is a hemshich of the first one.
So why can't it work that I can bring them all together as one?
You're saying, why can't the Rambam agree?
Why can't the Rambam agree?
So I think the pshat is because the first one you eat will be a hefsik from the second one. So the bracha has to be chal on the first one, and the second one is a hemshich. The Rambam holds, you can't make a bracha on all of them equally because you're not eating them all first. You're eating the first one first. So that'll be a hefsik from the second one. So how can you ever eat, right? The first eating interrupts the second eating.
So what if you put two, according to the Rambam, what happens when you put two in your hand?
So if you plan on popping them both in your mouth at the same time, then the Rambam would agree.
And if one fell out?
So then the bracha was equally chal on both. No, because you weren't planning on eating one before the other. But in a normal situation where you're eating one, then the second one, then the third one, the bracha has to be chal on the first one. Your first achila, if you're going to pop two in your mouth at the same time, the bracha was probably chal on both at the same time. Now, here's where it gets very interesting. This was already very interesting, but it gets even more interesting. This is talking about Birkas Hanenin. Now, the Poiskim, and there's no decisive ruling on this, the Poiskim wanted to, they discuss, can we apply this machoikes to mitzvahs as well? You compared it to Shechita. Can we apply this to mitzvahs as well? So here we go. In Shulchan Aruch Simen Ches, that's Hilchas Tzitzis. So imagine if there's a Sharik Shuva there, Ois Tezayin. So imagine if you come to Shul, you forgot your talis at home. So the Gabbai gives you a talis. here, this person's not coming today. We know he's not makbid, so you can take the talis. He lets anybody who wants to use it, it becomes his as a gift. So she can make a bracha. So I take the borrowed talis. Baruch atu Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvoisav l'satif b'tzitzis, batzitzis, or bitzitzis, it's a mechalikas. And then the owner comes in, so the gabbai says, whoops, right, I'm sorry, you can't use that talis. He snatches it away and gives it to the owner, and he hands me another talis. So this is like the tormis. I made a bracha on one talis, and it was switched on me the last minute. It's as if I dropped it, and it rolled away, and I got a new one. So what's the halacha? So here's the Shari Kshuva in Simen Ches.
Is it as if you dropped it?
So it's the same. In other words, the point of dropping is that the initial bracha wasn't chal, because you ended up taking a different one. It doesn't matter really like why the first one didn't play out. So now, Nosnu loy talis lehisatif, somebody handed you a talis to wrap yourself, v'koydim huatifa, before you got a chance to put it on, bosh shamish besaknesis, the gabbai comes, v'chotaf miyadli, and grabs it away, b'omroy, because he said, shebo bala talis, that the owner of the talis walked in, ubikish talisan, he wants his own talis, v'nosnu loy acher, so the gabbai quickly hands you another one. So says the Kshari Kshuva, yesh lehistapik and sarach levarach shenis, he says, do you have to repeat the bracha or not? So the Shari Kshuva, this is brought from the Mutzal Me'esh, he brings this analogy from Tormis. So just like when it comes to food, right? The Shulchan Aruch talks about if you have a bracha on one and you drop it, you have to repeat the bracha. So we'll apply the same halacha to the talis. Now, in this case, even the Ramah would agree. Why? Because you weren't planning on putting on two talisim, you were planning on putting on only this one. So even the Ramah would agree that if you drop it, if it gets lost, if it gets snatched away, and you put on another one, it seemingly you should have to repeat the bracha. Nevertheless,
wait, if the bracha was not with a specific talis in mind, but I'm putting on a talis, so they're making the bracha,
that probably will be okay. But like if you're holding one in your hand, then the Shulchan Aruch, then that's pretty apparent that you were right. Planning on making it on that talis. So it's a direct analogy to Tormis. Right. And even though we argue and we say that you can continue eating, that's only because minastam you planned on eating more. But you didn't plan on putting on two talisim, right. So seemingly you should have to repeat the bracha on the second talis.
If you switch shofars midstream,
Very good. Okay, I think, Michael, I think you're looking ahead. Next case. Tess. Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Tefillin. Simen Chaf Hei, Hilchas Tefillin. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Nun. So imagine if you make a bracha on your tefillin. So the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, we make two brachas. The Sfaradim, the Reb Gidon, one bracha. Yeah. So the Sfaradim make one bracha. Im acher shebirach al tefillin shelo. Imagine if you made a bracha on your tefillin. Nifsa kakesher. So either the knot unraveled somehow on the tefillin, or the ritzua tour, right? There's nobody in the shul who knows how to retie that tefillin. Sometimes in the back of the siddur they have pictures and diagrams how to retie, but you have to be a mumcha. Nobody knows how to do it. But tzarach lulbash tefillin acherim, and you have to at the last minute wear another pair of tefillin. Tzarach levarach shenis k'may tormis. So the Mishnah Berurah himself says that you'll have to make another bracha on the tefillin because the item, the object, the mitzvah of the tefillin that you made the bracha over got lost, essentially got ruined, got torn. Got unraveled, so you're going to have to repeat the bracha when you put on another pair of tefillin. Again, we're comparing it to Tormis, and in this case, even the Ramah would agree, because you specifically made the bracha on this one, and when you lose it, you'll have to repeat the bracha. Ayin Simen Kuf Mem. So, Michael, this is your case. Hilchas Kriya Sefer Torah. This is the famous Shiloh. They call you up for an aliyah, and they show you where they're going to read. So when the chazan, he shows you what we're up to, and you recite a bracha over the kriya, and it turns out, when you made the bracha on the kriya, there has kiruhu, and then they remind you, they remember, sheparsha acheres sarach likrais, that they made a mistake and they showed you the wrong spot. You have to really read a different parsha, and v'goylel ha-sefer Torah l'makam shetzarach likrais bai. So they had to roll the sefer Torah to another spot. This happened recently by Parshas Kiseitse, because at the end of the previous parsha, it says Kiseitse la Melchama, and then the new parsha starts Kiseitse, so that someone made a bracha on the wrong Kiseitse, and then they rolled it to the proper Kiseitse. Yesh oimrim she'ein tzarech lachso olavarech. Some say that you need not repeat the bracha. V'yesh oimrim she'tzarech, and others say that you do. The Mishnah Berurah brings a machlekes, and the Mishnah Berurah says that what's the svara of the machlekes? Do we say, so the Mishnah Berurah is l'shitasai. The Mishnah Berurah says,
I would assume so.
Mishnah Berurah says that the machlekes is, do we say, do we, so the Mishnah Berurah says, do we say that your das was on the entire Torah, or do we say that your das was on what they showed you in front of, on front, and therefore you'll have to repeat the bracha? That's the svara of the machlekes.
Rosh Chodesh second, third Aliyah. It talks about the carbon.
Right.
I pointed to the wrong spot.
Yeah.
So I began the kriya from there.
So that's very interesting.
Where
so,
he made the bracha. So made the bracha
it's not necessary.
There.
So
I know, but I did.
Very good. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's open in front of you, even if you pointed to the wrong spot, we certainly assume that your das was on everything in front of you, and you wouldn't have to repeat the bracha, and you'd be allowed to start at the right spot.
The person that made the bracha took his talis. It's like they do. Yeah, they do it, and he touched the spot.
Yeah.
I assumed that's where he thought I was going to start.
Yeah. So, but was the right spot open in front of him on the same column or in the same?
Yes.
So then you wouldn't have to repeat the bracha. So you would be allowed technically to start at the right spot. I want to apologize. I skipped an important point.
Yeah, sure.
In Vav, thank you. So. Back to Birkas Hanan, I'm sorry for the interruption, but back to Hilchas Brachas, this is a fascinating case. Imagine if you're making Kiddush over a cup of wine like you're supposed to. You're making Kiddush al Yayin, and then before you got a chance to drink, the wine spilled. It could theoretically happen.
So your kid bumped into you.
So you were Yotze Kiddush al Yayin because you recited the Kiddush over the wine, but you weren't Yotze the Te'ima. You have to taste. So the Mishnah Berurah says, right, the Shulchan Aruch says, quickly take another cup of wine, recite the Borei Pri HaGafen again, because the first cup spilled. You don't have to repeat the Kiddush because you said Kiddush Alayyan. All you're missing is the Te'ima. So therefore, you can just do a Te'ima with the second cup. That's the Shulchan Aruch. You'll need a second bracha. The Mishnah Berurah brings the Magen Avraham that you don't need a second bracha if you were planning on drinking more wine by the meal, right? It's Lishitasa. The Shulchan Aruch holds by Tormis that even if you have in mind to drink more, if the one that you picked up got lost, you have to recite the bracha again. And the novelty is you don't need to recite the Kiddush again, you just have to recite the Borei Pri HaGafen again. But the Mishnah Berurah cites the Magen Avraham consistent with what it says in Reish Vav, that we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, that if you plan on drinking more, then you don't have to repeat the Borei Pri HaGafen. Just quickly take another cup without being mafsik too much and drink, and you'll be yoytze to the Kiddush al Yayin and the Te'ima on this cup. Okay, now, so far we talked about tzitzis, we talked about tefillin, and we talked about Kriyas HaTorah. Now, Shofar, so Michael, you brought in Shofar, item Yud Aleph. If a person recites a bracha on the Shofar, and the Shofar was taken away in the middle of the tekiah, right? So sometimes that happens. Sometimes the Baal Tekiah is blowing, and for whatever reason, after he's been blowing for a while, it's not going anymore with the Shofar. Maybe there's saliva in the Shofar, who knows? You're getting burnt out with that Shofar. So you switch to another Shofar. You do not have to repeat the bracha because you started already. That would be analogous to continuing the meal. Greira, very good. However, if you make the bracha...
No, but also
it's the Shmoa. It's the Shmoa.
No, but also Shofar's a little bit different in that you're technically Yotze the mitzvah after the first seer, after the first 30... So
within the first
30. Within the first 30.
That's a very good point. Now, Abel ben bracha l'tchilas tekiah, this is the Mishnah Berurah's psak. He brings this in Hilchos Shofar. If the Baal Tekiah recites the bracha, and for whatever reason he did not blow the shofar that he recited the bracha on, he's holding the shofar in his hand, he recites the bracha, and he didn't have any, and then for whatever reason the bracha, the shofar gets taken away or he can't blow from that one, then he has to make the bracha again, midin turmis. So it's very interesting. This is the distinction that we're learning. If you made the bracha on the shofar and you started blowing with that shofar, then you can continue with the second shofar. But if you never got a chance to blow from the first shofar and you immediately change to a second shofar, then you'll be subject to the dispute of tormis. You'll have to make the bracha again, unless the second shofar was sitting in front of you, which is usually the case. And then we say that your das was on all the shofars. Do you have two shofars in front of you when you blow?
I have four.
In Ottawa, I used to blow.
But
so I
don't hold the shofar when I make the bracha.
So then your das was on all the shofars equally?
I'm looking at all of them.
So we paskin anyway, like the Ramah, like the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, so you wouldn't have to repeat the bracha.
Right.
Right? But if you were holding one shofar, and let's say that shofar was taken away, and then you give it another one, you would have to repeat the bracha because your das was on this shofar. Now,
unless your das wasn't.
Unless you had in mind everyone, then that would be the Ravid and the Rabbeinu Tam. Your bracha would automatically go on everything.
So the first makes bracha, let's take the first.
Oh, I always did that. It's not my spoke to. This is from.
So that might be analogous to Greira. That would be the first one he ended up botching. He botched it. He botched the first shlita. Then, according to this, he would have to make a bracha according to the Shulchan Aruch. But again, we pass him like the Ramah that the bracha was equally chal on everything. But the Shulchan Aruch would say to make another bracha. Correct. Okay. Now back to the Sefer Torah case. Imagine if this is a common situation. Imagine if you're reading from the Sefer Torah. If you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, it's missing a letter or there's an Igiyah in the middle of the Kriya. So the halacha is you're mafsik, you take out another Sefer, and you continue reading without, you don't have to repeat the bracha. Asher bochar bano, that's our psak. You don't recite it again. However, if you, and the Mishnah Berurah explains, because your das was on this parsha, so what difference does it make if you continue the parsha in this sefer or another sefer? It's a continuation of your first parsha. However, if you found the tois before you started reading, so Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Amim, you recited the bracha, and then you realize right away, hey, there's something wrong with this, before you got a chance to start, and you bring another sefer, the Mishnah Berurah brings a machloikes if you have to recite the bracha again or not. Mishnah Berurah says that the minig is not to recite the bracha again, but if somebody insists on reciting the bracha again, he has who to rely on. So again, what's the machlekes? So why is it, so here's the question, why is it that by the talis, the Shartzion says you have to recite the bracha again if the first talis was snatched away, and by tefillin, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that if the ritzua unties or rips and you need to exchange it for another pair before you put on the first pair, you have to recite the bracha again, and by shofar, if you had to switch the shofar before you started, unless you had all the shofars in mind, you'll have to repeat the bracha again. And why is it that by Kriyas HaTorah he brings a machlekes that you don't have, that you might not have to recite the bracha again even before you started reading? Why is it different than the case of the Yushalmi of Tormis? So there's a Sefer Mishmeres Chaim in Inyanei Tefillin, he makes a chilek. The bracha over the Torah publicly is a Birkas HaTorah, it's for Kavod HaTzibur. It's a Kavod to the Sefer Torah to recite the bracha. You're not really reciting the bracha on this Sefer Torah, on this object, on this Sefer Torah. You're really reciting a bracha, the Kavod HaTzibur, on the idea of reading the Torah Barabbin. So therefore, even if this Sefer Torah itself was puzzle and you want to switch it for another one, the idea would be that my bracha was never on is not on the sefer. The bracha is a kavod hatzibur to make a public bracha on the kriya, and therefore you'd be able to continue with another sefer. The chokim would hold no, that the bracha is on this specific sefer, and therefore the bracha wasn't chal because you didn't end up using this sefer. So you would have to repeat the bracha. But the reason why the kriya satura might be different is because the bracha is not necessarily on this particular sefer. The bracha is a bracha b'tzibur for kavod tzibur and kavod Torah, and it doesn't have to be chal specifically on this object. It's just a general bracha, generic bracha, kavod tzibur. It's on the Talmud Torah.
It's
not on this specific sefer. It's on Talmud Torah Barabbin. It doesn't make a difference if it's
you
this
make a
sefer.
Bracha, Ashur Bracha Rabbana, and you're sitting at the learning. Doesn't stand.
I guess the bracha is on the trying. The bracha is on the trying. Right, on the Amelus. Now. Okay, the Shailos and Shuvas Marshag makes a similar chilek, but he wants to argue, he brings all the paiskim, he brings the psak of the talis, and he brings the psak of the tefillin, and he wants to disagree with all of these psakim. He says, not like the paiskim at the Mishnah Berurah brought, all the birkas hamitzvahs that we say, the bracha is not on the object. In other words, if we think about it, there's a very simple distinction to argue on everything we've been saying until now. The Yushalmi was talking about a birkas hanenin, food. So I pick up the tomato, and I make a bracha, and I want to eat that tomato. The bracha is clearly on that tomato, right? So now we have a machlekes if we say greira, or if the bracha was chal primarily on everything. When it comes to a mitzvah, somebody could easily argue, when I make a bracha on my tefillin, for example, I'm not making a bracha on specifically on this tefillin. I'm making a bracha on the mitzvah, on the chiyuv. I'm fulfilling my chiyuv with this pair of tefillin. But is there a difference between this particular pair of tefillin or a different pair of tefillin? Or shofar? Shofar is even easier to hear because tefillin, the tefillin is a chayfet shel mitzvah. In other words, it's a darvish ha-bikdusha, and this is am yotzi with the wearing of the tefillin. A shofar is even less removed. The shofar is really just the heicha timsa to produce the sound. And the bracha is on the sound. So when I make a bracha, is the bracha chal on the shofar? No, the bracha is being chal on the kiyum ha-mitzvah of shmias kol shofar. So somebody could easily yeah. Oh, very good. So somebody could easily argue that the bracha doesn't have to be chal on this particular shofar. So even if they take away the shofar and they give you another shofar, but the bracha was chal on the kiyum ha-mitzvah. The shofar is just the object, it's just the hecha timsa, it's just facilitating the kiyum ha-mitzvah. But it's not as if you're making a bracha on this shofar. So buy food.
Don't have that. The shofar, Peter Torah, and the fruit.
The food, the pretty much the chefza. In other words, by food, the bracha is on the chefza because I'm eating this tomato. I'm not eating another tomato. I'm eating this tomato. So the bracha is on this tomato. So the argument goes that the bracha is chal on this one, and the rest is derek greira. If you lose this one, you have to repeat the bracha. Or if you're only planning on eating one, the bracha was on this one, you have to repeat the bracha. But when it comes to tefillin, and when it comes to shofar, the bracha perhaps is not on the shofar and on the tefillin. The bracha is on the kiyum ha-mitzvah. You're making a bracha on the chiyuv. And the object is just a hechatimsa, is just a way to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Kshuvas Marshag argues that you don't have to repeat the bracha. Now, tzitzis, he agrees. Why? Because tzitzis, the bracha is on each talis is a separate mitzvah. Like Rav Scheinberg Zatzal, he used to wear many tzitzis. Each tzitzis, each beged requires its own tzitzis. So each beged is another kiyum ha-mitzvah. So therefore the Marshag agrees, each one is a separate kiyum. That's actually the halacha. Imagine if you're wearing tzitzis and then you switch your tzitzis for another pair, you have to make another bracha. Or let's say you're somebody who wears a lot of tzitzis. Well, let's say in the old days, every four-cornered garment that they put on was a mitzvah. So you, in the morning, you put on your shirt has four corners, it has tzitzis, you make a bracha. And then you decide to put on your coat, your cloak, and your cloak also has tzitzis, you would make another bracha, because each one is clearly a separate mitzvah. But when it comes to shofar, there's one mitzvah of shofar, and what difference does it make if I fulfill the mitzvah with this shofar or a different shofar? So the Marshag argues and says that you would not have to repeat the bracha. Now, because when you because the way it works, that's a very good. It's not an optional mitzvah.
Well,
in other words, that doesn't mean it's optional. The chiyuv kicks in when you're wearing a four cornered garment.
Right, it's
then
optional.
then it's mandatory.
Right. If I'm not wearing a four cornered garment.
Yeah, but the place can discuss this. It's not optional. In other words,
optional in that respect. I mean, it's a.
Once it's situational.
Situational.
So
whatever.
when you're wearing the four corners, then you
it's
need
like
to put on.
If I have a roof that doesn't need
okay,
market.
No, but let's say I have a house with a mic.
It's like matzah on the rest of Pesach.
No, because matzah the rest of Pesach is optional. Over here, if I'm wearing a four-cornered garment, I have to put on tzitzis. Let's compare it to a mic. I have a house, and the house has a roof that I use. I have a chiyuv to put a mic. You can't say, well, it's optional, because if I don't have to own a house. You own a house. If you own a house, you have to put on the mic. So if I'm wearing four corners, right, you have to wear tzitzis. It's not optional.
But you don't have to wear four corners.
You can also sell your house, right? But to the extent that you're in this situation, you have a chiyuv. Matzah is different, because matzah, you don't have to eat matzah at all. On the rest
but
of it.
But shofar is chiyuvus.
Correct. That's true. That's true. Now, just to tie it into Hanukkah, an analogous case, imagine if you're about to light your menorah and it spills. Theoretically, it could happen. The oil spills out. Theoretically, it could happen. Somebody knocks over the menorah. So you quickly refill the menorah. Do you have to make the bracha again? Right? So what do you do? Now, again, I only had in mind to light this menorah. I didn't have in mind to light other menorahs. So pashtus, I should have to make the bracha again. What if the oil, the jar of oil, is sitting on the table? Do we say it's as if you had in mind all the oil? So probably not, because you weren't expecting that it would spill. You weren't planning on eating more. You can't compare that to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid. It's not like a tormis. You were planning on eating a whole bunch. You were planning on lighting with the oil in your menorah. So according to the Mishnah Brura, you would have to repeat the bracha, but according to the Marshag, you wouldn't, because the bracha of a mitzvah is different. It's on the chi of a mitzvah. It's not on the object that you're using. So therefore, according to the Marshag, you wouldn't have to repeat the bracha. So my feeling is, like you said before, my feeling is that we paskin like the Mishnah Brura for us is like the Pesach Acharon. So since he brings the sheet, is that we do compare Birkas Mitzvah to the halacha of Tormis. Therefore, you should repeat the bracha if you don't blow the first shofar. If you made a bracha before and you didn't end up putting on that pair of tefillin. So so you would have to make another bracha. Talis, everybody agrees you have to make another bracha because each talis is a separate mitzvah. And the Sefer Torah case is a machlokes because even the Mishnah Berurah says that your das is on the Torah in general. It's not on this particular Sefer Torah.
Yashikur. Wait, maybe it's not Nagea, but when a guest who comes